The animal is not the minister. One of the most important truths in pet-assisted chaplaincy is very simple. The animal is not the minister. That may sound obvious at first, but in practice, it is one of the easiest things to forget. When an animal is warm, appealing, and emotionally engaging, people naturally notice it first. They smile. They relax. They comment on the animal. Sometimes they open up more quickly. Sometimes they begin talking right away. That can be good. But it can also create a subtle danger. The danger is that the chaplain begins to hide behind the animal. Instead of leading the visit, the chaplain starts following the mood created by the animal. Instead of guiding the encounter, the chaplain lets the animal carry it. Instead of reading the person carefully, the chaplain becomes satisfied with a pleasant atmosphere. That is not the same thing as ministry. A pet-assisted chaplain must remember that the animal may help lower barriers, but the chaplain is still the one called to carry spiritual responsibility. The chaplain notices the person. The chaplain discerns the pace. The chaplain watches for consent. The chaplain decides whether to speak, listen, pray, pause, or simply remain present. The animal does not do those things. The animal may support the moment, but it does not replace ministerial judgment. This matters because a visit can look successful on the outside and still remain shallow underneath. A person may smile and pet the dog. A child may laugh. A resident may tell a story about a pet they used to have. All of that may be meaningful. But the chaplain still has to ask, what is actually happening here? Is this person simply enjoying the animal, or are they becoming relationally open? Do they want interaction with me, or only with the animal? Am I still leading this as a ministry encounter, or am I just standing nearby while the dog creates a nice atmosphere? Those are important questions. A strong pet-assisted chaplain does not resent the animal's appeal, but the chaplain also does not surrender the role. That means you stay attentive. You do not overtalk because the room feels warm. You do not assume spiritual readiness because people are softening emotionally. You do not let the visit become a performance built around the animal. You keep the person central. You keep the ministry purposeful. And you keep Christ-centered care clear, even when the form of care is quiet and gentle. This also means the chaplain must not become merely a handler. Yes, you do need to guide the animal. Yes, you do need to watch behavior, pacing, and stress. But if the whole visit becomes only animal management, then the ministry side of the encounter becomes weaker. The goal is not to manage the animal instead of ministering. The goal is to handle the animal well enough that you remain free to minister. That is a big difference. In a good pet-assisted visit, the animal supports peace, but the chaplain carries presence. The animal may open the door, but the chaplain walks through it. The animal may soften the atmosphere, but the chaplain still serves as the one responsible for wisdom, restraint, and care. So remember this clearly. The animal is not the minister. The animal is a support to ministry. And the stronger the chaplain remembers that, the more credible, calm, and Christ-centered the ministry becomes.